Brett, sometimes I dream of becoming an actor. Have you ever dreamt of becoming an actor? Maureen, what is it you think I do for a living? Never mind, sounds like you need the New York Film Academy. NYFA offers workshops, BFA and MFA degrees and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, journalism and more, online and on campuses across the globe. To make films alongside industry professionals, explore more at nyfa.edu. Thanks, Brett. Thank you, Maureen.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Maureen, your Canva presentation looks brilliant. Thanks, Brett. That's because I used AI-powered Canva presentations. I just described what I wanted, and Canva presentations generated the perfect slides. You can even make a talking presentation for people to watch on their own time. Check this out. Recording. 101 Reasons Why Beaches is the Saddest Film Ever Made by your neighbour Maureen. Is it easy to use? If you can use a computer, you can nail your next work presentation with Canva Presentations at canva.com, designed for work. Oh, thanks, my neighbour Maureen. Yeah, thank you.
Look out, it's only films to be buried with.
Hello and welcome to Films to be Buried With. My name is Brett Goldstein. I'm a comedian, an actor, a writer, a director, a crisp, and I love films. As Albert Schweitzer once said, there are two means of refuge from the misery of life, music and cats. Oh, three, if you count The Jungle Book. I'd say that list could be a bit longer, but thank you, Albert, for contributing to this week's show. Every week, I invite a special guest over. I tell them they've died, then I get them to discuss their life through the films that meant the most to them. Previous guests include Barry Jenkins, Himesh Patel, Mark Frost, Sharon Stone, Jameela Jamil, and even Bled Clambles. But this week, it's the excellent, the wonderful, the amazing, it's Mr. Sam Richardson. You can watch all of Shrinking on Apple TV Plus and all of Ted Lasso seasons 1 to 3, starring Sam Richardson, also on Apple TV Plus. Watch all of it, love all of it, have a nice time. Thank you very much. Head over to the Patreon at patreon.com/Brett Goldstein, where you get an extra 20 minutes with Sam. We talk about a secret. We talk about beginnings and endings of films. You get the whole episode uncut and ad-free and as a video. Check it out over at patreon.com/Brett Goldstein. So Sam Richardson is an incredible actor. You know him from your favourite shows, Detroiters, Veep, Ted Lasso, I Think You Should Leave. He's also in the upcoming season 2 of The Brilliant After Party. He's a movie star, he's a producer, he's an all-round absolute legend and a bloody hero. We recorded this on Zoom a couple of weeks ago and he's a fucking joy. I really think you're going to like this one. So that is it for now. I very much hope you enjoy episode 253 of Films to be Buried With. Hello and welcome to Films to be Buried With. It is I, Brett Goldstein, and I am joined today by an actor, a writer, a comedian, a improviser, a Detroiter, a Second Cityer? Question mark, correct?
Correct.
Tourer, a film star, a TV star, a Edwin Akufua, a star of stage and screen and of all our hearts, and currently in my favourite comedy show, he's here, he's here, he's here. Please, as his famous song goes, he's here, he's here, he's here. He's one of the all-time greats, an absolute legend. I can't believe he's here. Could you? Well, he's here, he's here, he's here. Please welcome to the show. It's the wonderful, it's Sam Richardson.
Yeah, truly, that's the greatest intro I've ever heard, let alone been given.
How are you, Sam Richardson?
I'm so good. I'm so good, my friend.
What we've discovered, for those of you who are listening on audio and not watching on video, is both Sam and I, who Sam, as you may know, has the reputation as, like, you know, one of the loveliest men in the world. Both of us have a blurred background, which suggests serial killers. And that's how we will keep it.
Exactly. You'll never know until it's too late. Just blank walls or plastic on the floor.
This is how I like to think of people in my life. They're people who are in focus, and at some point, once I've dealt with them, they will be a blurred background. Now, Sam Richardson, so much to talk about. Okay, let's deal with you as a human being, shall we?
Okay, yeah.
I'm about to bring the hammer down. Now, I was very grateful, and this is not me like name dropping, but I was very grateful to be invited to your 21st birthday last year.
Yes.
And what I thought at that birthday is, you know, in Muppet Christmas Carol, when Scrooge at the end, he sings, "And if you want to take the measure of a man, you simply count his friends." And I don't think he's talking about numbers. I think he's talking about the quality of his friends. You had, not only were there lots of people at your party, but the loveliest people. Everyone there was so lovely. And I thought, it speaks very highly of you that not only are there lots of people here, but these are all good people here. I think that's either you're the exception to that rule, or that says something very nice about you. But then I also wondered, a lot of them were improvisers, and I was like, is it just improvisers are good people? Discuss.
I think so. I think it's, but about my friends, my girlfriend, is, we talk about this, like how my friends, I take pride in having like really good people as friends, because I don't like to play, lack of a better term, like shade games where I can't trust somebody. So, you know, I keep my friends for a long time, and like having a party, like whenever I have a birthday party, it's so nice to see all my friends together, because I'm like, oh yeah, you're a person I love very much, and you're a person I love very much, and you're a person I love very much, and I think you guys will love each other, and or you're already friends. I think improvisers can. I'm not going to sit here and say that every improviser is the greatest person. That's not true. But I think the nature of improv kind of leads itself to that, because you have to be a good improviser, you have to be open and like willing to take something and grow with it and play with that. Yeah. So it's a naturally friendly interaction, you know, and you get close to people very quickly, because you don't form an ensemble like in an instant to then make stuff up. Or without a net. And also, like with the other improvisers, we have like a shorthand of like comedy, so we like could all know we can just do bits and then like kind of get out of it and like do more bits or annoy everybody else around you, unless everybody else around you is also an improviser. Then,
It was a bit fest.
Yes.
Tell me, you are very, very busy. You're in everything, you star in everything, you're very successful, you're brilliant. How do you keep your ego in check? Like, how do you stay the man you seem to have always been when you are a big Hollywood movie star? And I there's a lot of politics to all this stuff and all that. How do you keep your sanity, I suppose, in all of it? Do you have a secret, or is it just you?
I don't know. I think to a degree it is like just how I process information, how I am. Like I'm pretty naturally kind of buoyant. And not to say bubbly, but buoyant. Like I can like stay sort of float above things, even like in sort of like troubling times, or like I very rarely get like truly mad. And like, I mean, I get mad, but I barely get like, I've maybe yelled at someone maybe a handful of times, you know, but one of them being like yesterday, I yelled at somebody.
And that's
so rare.
What happened?
Whew. Ooh, I'll put on a Best Buy. Okay.
Oh.
I bought a TV years ago, but I got the protection plan. You know, the total care package. So like if something goes wrong, they repair it, they come and then they replace.
You plan to protect it.
You plan to protect it. You know, you pay a little bonus, and then that's the idea is like an insurance. And it might be even sucker insurance, but I'm like, hey, things break. So then my TV goes out. And so I'm like, I call and have them come to repair the TV. They repair it once, then it breaks again, repair it twice, then another foul. And then, okay, well, now we can junk this out so we can replace this TV for you. So I get the replacement order thing. And I'm like, okay, great. They're like, approved, go into the store. They'll help do the swap out. Fine. So I go into the store, and there's this like dude, and he's like your typical, like, out of the box, like a salesman, you know what I mean? Like a car salesman.
Right, right.
You know, the rolled up sleeves, slacks, glasses. Like, I'm not, nothing against a balding guy, but, you know, it's all part of the costume. And he's like, well, I was trying to, I've dealt with this guy before. He's always like trying to upsell on something. But I was like, oh, well, I've got this junk out thing. He's like, oh, well, we don't take care of it here. It's at the front desk of Best Buy. And at Best Buy, there's Magnolia Center, which is for like the nice TV stuff. And there's Best Buy proper. Okay. So they're like, take care of this at Best Buy. So I go to the Best Buy kind of like, oh, we don't have that here. It's got to be at Magnolia. So I go, he's like, I don't see it. And like, just, I'm waiting for like literally an hour for this guy to like do the thing to look it up. And he, like, I can tell he's not doing it. I'm like, all right, well, what's happening here? So, okay. Like, well, turns out like it's not going to find out. So it's probably going to be in like a couple of days. We'll find the thing. So I'm like, all right, well, why'd they make me drive out here directly? So I go home and he's like, y'all, give me your number. So, you know, I'll call you when it gets fixed. So I'm like texting him 2 days later. Hey, anything going on? Now it's the weekend, holiday weekend. So yeah, a couple of days. I'm like, okay. A couple of days later, after the weekend, I'm like, hey, what's up? Nothing. I call. I'm not seeing it. So now we're like 2 weeks out. I don't have a TV on my wall. So I bought another TV and I was like, well, I'll return this when the other one comes through. Maybe 3 days ago, I call Magnolia. I'm like, hey, what's the deal with this? And they're like, oh, nobody's put this paperwork in. Tap, 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 done. So I'm done within 5 minutes. And so yesterday, I go in and I'm like in the Best Buy and I'm walking and I see him see me and like try and like zoom around. And so he goes to the back and I'm like, I'm like tailing him like a secret agent. You know what I mean? I'm like, going to this thing and I see where he goes. And then somebody comes up and it's like, hey, can I help you? And I'm like, oh yeah. Is Peter here? And he's like, the guy's like, oh, I don't know. I don't know if he's into that. I'm like, I saw him. He's here. Can you tell him I'm here? And so then, like, they send out two other guys who are like, hey, what's the problem? Like, oh, y'all know. So then finally, in the middle of the transaction, Peter's like, hey, what's going on here? Let me see if the thing's come through yet. I'm like, it's come through. Here's the thing. Just make it happen. He's like, all right, well, I can issue a refund. It has to be gift cards. And we can't do more than this TV. The TV is like, oh, big TV. So it was like $3,000. Like, I can only do like $2,000 a day. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm like, you have the TVs here. Give me one from there to there. And he's like, that's the law. I'm like, look, I don't get mad about a lot of stuff. And I'm saying full voice. I don't get mad about a lot, but this is making me very mad. You need to correct this. And and like, you can tell like everybody starts to get like a little nervous. I'm like, I don't like to do that either. But like sometimes at some point you gotta like really, it's fiercely. So like everybody's like kind of like, this. And he starts to talk to me about like movies. Like, oh, how's this the writer's strike? I'm like, bro, this is your connection. hell of a lot harder without a TV to like kind of entertain myself with. So then they issued me $2,000 gift cards. I got to go there today to get the rest. But man, I screamed at this guy in the story. The only time I'm like, it's always like tech guys. Like I'm on a whole run about times I screamed at people.
Keep going. But what I love about that guy is at the beginning of your story, you go, I've had run-ins with this guy before. I love that this guy is your nemesis.
He really is. Guy. He really is. And another time I got my house, I got it wired for internet, put in, you know, sound system and security cams. I was like, oh, I know the security cams that I want. I was like, get these and put these security cams in and do the install. So then I come to see the install. He's put in these different cameras. And I'm like, what are these? I told you what I wanted. He's like, oh, no, this is better. This is what. I was like, well, no, I asked you for something very specific. And then he's just like, trying to like talk through, and I'm like, then I'm in my living room and I'm yelling at this guy like he's a 12-year-old who, you know what I mean, got into an R-rated movie. Anyway, these are very short and like not really like a fight, but that's the extent of like when I get upset, you know.
He'll take it out in stores.
I'm talking about the whole world. This guy got all of Black Lives Matter just from this TV. I'm like, oh yeah.
It's really fascinating. But how do you handle yourself? Like, I'm sure it's happened in your life. Have you been on a set where, you know, you haven't liked what's going on the set, or you're being asked to do something you don't want to do, or it's going in a direction you don't like? Are you good at handling that sort of stuff, or do you just do it very nicely?
I think I am. I think I've got a pretty good bedside manner. if I'm like dealing with something directly with another actor or whatever, I think I'm pretty good at being like, hey, this is kind of weird. And why are we doing this for the most part? Or I don't have a problem like going to the macro view and being like, hey, either director or producer, like this is a situation. This is how I feel right now. This is where I see it's going. This is what I'm doing to correct it. But know that point A is right. Going to become point B. It's going to become point C. And so I'm letting you know, because like we're at point A, I'm going to bring this up again when we're at point B. So know that I've said point where point C is going to be. So I'm very like matter of fact with that, but I'm also, you know, I'm incredibly patient. So I can see things through, but it's, I have maybe to a fault patience, because I think so many things are impermanent.
That's so interesting that. And what about, and you've been producing your own stuff now? You made Werewolf yourself.
Made Werewolves Within. I was a producer on that.
Was that your first film?
Oh, thank you. As a producer,
First, congratulations.
Yeah, it was. Thank you. And it's like my first like really like full on like leading role in a movie too. I mean, I'd done another couple of things where I was like the lead, but like that was like top marquee. It was like my first thing. I had a really great time with that. Josh Rubin directed that, and they did it with Milana Vantrub, and it was like it's such a fun movie. Like we shot that for maybe a month, like 3 weeks in the Catskills. And like while we're filming that movie, it's a horror movie comedy. But like as we're filming that, a real horror movie is happening in the background because we're in this remote thing and the TV, like in a zombie movie.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, COVID cases in China and like at the beginning of the movie. Fuck. And then as we get further, it's like, oh, one case found in America.
Oh my God.
And then Trump was there. Oh, it's only 8, but that's it. We're fixing it. And like this, as the movie goes on, like this is happening in the background and like it starts to explode when we come. So, and we're remote from everything.
And
so when
they
come back home, things, and we're in a cabin, like for real. So you come back home, like everything's kind of different. Like it really started to take hold. I was going to do press for this other movie I did called Hooking Up. And right before, like after our first, I think we did KTLA, and then everything shut down. There was no more press, no more anything. So it went from like a movie that was going to theaters to like on demand. That was the first one of that for me. And it's like everything changed right then in making that movie. It was wild.
Man, and I saw that film. I think I saw that film in a hotel. And I remember being like, this is a cinema movie. Like, it's a real, I felt sad for you that COVID happened because it was like, oh, this is like a big screen. This is like a proper cinema, fun horror comedy. Deserved big screen.
Yeah, I never got to see it in a theater.
Oh, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Listen, they'll do a retrospective season at the BFI of all your work. And you'll get to see it then.
That's all I ask.
That's all he's ever asked. A retrospective of the BFI. I've ever asked
for. You know what I mean? Come on.
My one other question for you. Did you do cruise ship improv?
I did. I worked Second City on a cruise.
I'm obsessed with cruise ship entertainment. Please tell me how long you were and the experience of that and what it's like.
It was, so I worked, working in Second City or at Second City, they had a contract on cruise ships, so we would go on the Norwegian Cruise Line. So I was living in Detroit, and I was like trying to work in Chicago. So I was living in Detroit, working at Second City in Detroit, and I was trying to get a job at Second City Chicago. And I was like, no way. But then they were like, hey, do you want to do a cruise ship? So I was like, oh, yes, I do. And I was like 21, like just turning 22 years old, going to live on this cruise ship for essentially in total, I did a year, 5 months, came home for a month and a half, and did another 5 months on the Norwegian Pearl.
Where does the cruise go?
So it went through the Caribbean.
Wicked.
So we went to St. Lucia and Tortola and Samana and Cozumel. You know, it was. Wow, because I was like so young, relatively speaking, because I'm only 23 now.
Yeah, I forget your birthday I went to was 2 years ago. You're 21st.
Those 2 years.
I got the time.
Cool. I'm kind of, you know, wise for my age. Like, I'm kind of living an old man's body. But it was a wild time because when I was on there, we only worked for like 4 hours a week because we were these guest entertainers. So we did two Best of Second City shows, which are an hour long, and then two improv shows at the end of the week. So each an hour long, and then maybe you would do a workshop for an hour. So that's 5 hours total. The rest of the time, I was just like on vacation. You know, I mean, I'm like, I'm going all these places. I'm 22. I'm drinking like I'm on vacation, and like so every week on the ship. Had like a sort of a cadence, you know, you'd get used to the like sort of the rhythm of how things went. So on Sunday, you'd get into port, like we were porting in New York, we'd get to, to like New York. Passengers would get off from the week before, a bunch of new passengers would get on this thing. And this is like a huge ship. We're talking about like, you know, 3,500 people on this ship, 3,000 people. So, you know, the first day, you know, I've spent the day in New York, so I'm feeling very metropolitan, you know, so I'm coming out of the ship with my new stuff, like whatever. I went to the Virgin record store. So you come in and everybody, it's like a fun celebration. Everybody's like all the people are new to the ship. And they're kind of like all doing things out. So you go and you chill up in the lounge a little bit, have a drink, but then you kind of go and you hide away in the crew areas. And then the next day, people are like a little bit wobbly footed. That's the time when the people we had what was called blue card access. So we could do passenger and crew things. So during that Monday, we'd go to the restaurants and like all you could eat $20 steakhouse, amazing. You know, all you could eat $15 sushi, but doing it. Yum, 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 yum.
And then how many Tuesday, of you are there? Sorry. How many of you in this improv group?
In the group, there's five actors and a music director.
Wow.
Who like plays piano to all the stuff. So like, you know, we're family.
Yeah.
And then Tuesday comes, and one run of Tuesday would come and we would like go to the first island so that we'd be on like in Barbados, you know. And amazing. Then Wednesday we'd have our show, and all of a sudden you're a celebrity on the ship. Everybody in the ship then knows you, you know. So they're like, hey man, do that blow up doll thing. This one, do that. Hey, do that. Oh, you should come and live in my basement. They would say that so often. They'd be like, we have a nice finished house in Wisconsin. You come and live here. I'm like, What do you think? Are you rescuing me? What do you think? What will I do there? How nice of a basement?
You're just
I was also like making the most money I've ever made, which is like, you know, $900 a week. So I'm like, I'm rich. You know, no expenses, just, you know, food, just kind of like drinks. If you're drinking up in the passenger area, the drinks are expensive, but I'm also 22, 21, and just drinking like I'm in college because I should be in college, you know? And so I'm I'm living it up. And then at the end of my 5 month contract, I made no money because I'd spent it all. So then I had to go do another contract and then live that life again. And then I moved to Chicago. They hired me to the touring company.
Okay, two follow-up questions. One, are you still in touch with the five plus the musical director, the other four that you were family with?
Not really. A couple.
Do you know where they are?
You know, we talked to it. I do. Well, I know where four of the five are.
So that's pretty good.
And then in the other half, so those had two different contracts with two different groups. So the other one, I was on the ship with my friend Sean Hanlon, who like one of my first ever improv teachers. He was my actual first improv teacher when I was 16 years old.
Wow.
And then we became roommates on the cruise ship. So I see him all the time. Yeah, so I see them more often than I see the first group, but still friends. We're all still friends.
That's nice. And the other question is, how many passengers did you date over the year?
Oh my goodness. So you weren't supposed to date passengers, but they couldn't say what you could and couldn't do on like the land. And like, you'd hang out because like I'd say a handful.
Many, many handfuls. Okay.
Many.
Good for you. I want to ask you so many other things, but I also think I've probably got to tell you this thing, which I forgot to tell you.
What's that?
Oh, the thing is, Sam, I forgot to tell you this. I should have probably said it earlier.
It's okay. You can just say it. What's up? I'm open book, like I said.
You sure? Because you seem, you know, we've said this about him, like you're very yes and supportive, and you've got my back, I've got your back. So whatever
exactly,
I say, you're
I am unflappable. Whatever you say, trust me, it'll be fine.
You're going to be fine with it. Well, before I say it, I guess, do you like life and stuff? You seem like a happy person.
Love it. Maybe my favorite thing.
Right. Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, you've had an awful lot of yes and training, and
yeah.
Support the idea, I suppose, as they say. You okay. know?
Sure, yeah.
I actually think this is going to go fine, so I'll just say it. What was your favorite thing again? What is the thing you liked most of all?
Life and living, this life that I have.
Yeah. Okay. Well, according to this, I wish I hadn't asked you what your favorite thing was now. Well, you've, how do I put it in? I should probably just say it. You, what's the word? You've died. You're dead. Oh man. Oh shit. I knew I.
No.
I feel like such an idiot. I should have.
No.
It's my own fault for prying and asking you what things you liked. I'm sorry.
I just said life was my favorite thing. I just said it. Oh, why did I tempt fate?
How did you die?
Am I dead? No, I'm not dead.
You're dead.
I'm not dead.
You're fucking
dead. You can't
be. You're
just dead. Had a nice meal and I went to bed. I've been cooking a lot, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So like, I've been like working on these like recipes. And so I've been like doing a lot and I've been trying to like eat lean. I mean, so I did like the other day, I did like a tuna tartare and it was like really nice. You know, you just like dice it up and then you can like put it over like rice or like whatever, you know, so that was nice. And the next day I did like this beef tartare and I was like, oh, this is like kind of spicy. You know, it's like really nice Wagyu beef and then you just diced it up really good. And then it's what's scary. It's like you don't cook it. So that's like fun. So like, as long as the meat's really good, you know, it should be good. And so then like yesterday or last night, I guess it was. I was like, well, you know, these two things are good. Like, you know, what I like to do, I call it land, sea, and sky. So I do, you know, my sea is like a fish. My land is like a meat. And I do sky, which is like a bird. So I was like, oh, I'll do chicken tartare. So I made, so I just like skinned I took the skin off of this chicken breast. I like diced it up real nice. I made this like real nice paste.
Lovely.
And I put, you know, put salt on it, you know, a light touch, you know, it's all about the seasoning. You don't want to don't want to overdo it. Don't want to underdo it. And then laid it over this bed.
Wait, yeah. You don't want to underdo raw chicken. Yeah.
No. Yeah, exactly. You want it to be just right. So like no oven. I'm like assuming that the room temperature is going to bring it to like a healthy level. So I left it out outside so we could like get that like sort of like room temperature. And then I ate it and I went to bed. Fucking duck.
I think you might have poisoned yourself with raw chicken.
That's what I did, isn't it? That is what I did.
I think
son of
room
a gun.
I think room temperature doesn't cook it enough, and I don't know a lot about food.
I mean, I guess I don't either. Here I am. Well,
what a way to go.
Okay.
Well,
yeah.
You tried something, and that's the main thing.
Can you get somebody to erase my computer?
It's all blurred. I looked on your hard drive. Everything's blurred.
Okay, good. Good, good, good. Toss it out.
What do you worry about death?
I do. I think about it. And like what happens, you know, or like what doesn't happen. Cause like this idea, like the input stop reading, you know, so like you don't see anything, you don't feel anything, you don't hear anything. Then like, what is there to receive any inputs? But then like at the same time, then like, what am I doing right now? And then what's the difference? You know, think about it all the time.
Oh, great. Oh, good. Do you have any theory what happens after with your inputs and outputs?
I mean, my theory is that it's just nothing. You know what I mean? Like this entity ceases to be. And then like, if there is like some sort of ethereal sort of consciousness, it's unaware of itself as being this. So then it just moves on to like another thing, but it's unaware of what this was or what it will be. You know what I mean? So, I mean, in that way, I guess comforting, but not really. Cause like, I like this, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. So you think it's like pure nothingness?
That's what I think.
All this talk of AI, and I've been reading a lot and listening to a lot of scary podcasts that tell me we're already dead.
Yeah.
My question is, if we're already computer programs, we think stuff though, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So I still can't compute nothingness, because in your nothingness, wouldn't you experience nothingness? Therefore,
I don't think so. there's nothing to experience. And like, there's nothing to experience the nothingness. I always think about also like, oh, you know, you put your consciousness in a computer, you know, or whatever. But I'm like, there's got to be some point where you stop being that. And then like this thing takes over without the actual memories you have. So this entity isn't me. It's something that is a facsimile and it has like, you know, data of me and like what my memories were, but it's not me. Because I could then exist and look at this thing. Therefore, I am separate from it. You know what I mean? So I think about that often. So the idea is just to prolong my life with robotics, but then never turn off the brain. Keep the brain.
Keep the brain. So just keep replacing limbs and skin and skull, but keep the brain. So the brain can't wither. Got to keep
the brain
that brain
can't wither, 'cause like,
fresh.
Exactly. Exactly. You just got to keep the brain.
And you think that the only thing that's going to wither the brain is the stuff around it withering.
Mm-hmm. So I think we're going to find some sort of like good juice for a brain to be in that's like a forever juice that brain can live. And even if it's like a Wi-Fi, so like it sits somewhere very safe. I've never thought about this before, but now I'm like coming up with a great idea. The brain sits in like a, you know, like a storage warehouse. And if you're really rich, it's like a very nice one. And it's like perfectly controlled. And then like via Wi-Fi, it beams your stuff to your robot body. So you know, it's safe. So you can't be destroyed, you know, unless they destroy the warehouse.
So your robot body is like your perfect body, looks like you, perfect you. And then if you get blown up, just make a new robot body that looks perfect you.
Just make a new robot body. Yeah. And hopefully residuals are working so I can afford it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, after this strike, I think you'll be fine. if we're not AI already, which I'm now started, I've listened to so many podcasts this week telling me that we're all already dead, that now I'm like, maybe we are AI.
I play a lot of I do a lot of gaming, you know, and then you sort of watch how the sort of programmed responses in some of these like AI figures and characters are, and you're like, oh, and then you sort of build the world out and you're able to like build these like sort of simulated universes and worlds. You're like, oh, that's probably not too hard to do if you have like advanced programming. Like, I'm like, oh, I think this, but it was just such a program that it's like the program is that I think this. You know what I mean? Like, what is the, you know, like my programming is to say that, oh, I feel like this way. And like another subcategory of my programming is to like make me feel that that's what it is. But am I?
This relates to films, which I guess at some point we're going to have to talk about. Here's my, as much as I know, before we started this, I said, is there anything you don't want to talk about? And you said films. what I think, I've been thinking in relation to film, because I have been thinking a lot about this AI and whether it's a worry or not. And you know this thing of like writers, you know, we're all this strikes going on and everyone's worried about AI. And I have looked at the AI thing and I've said, write me a script, write me a Ted Lasso script. And it's dreadful. It's dreadful. And I read it and I go, terrible. This is no good. This isn't a worry to me. But I think artists, let's use the word, I rarely do, but let's use it for now. Yeah. Artists versus AI, right? There's this lovely dream we have that AI can't do what we do because AI doesn't have feelings and thoughts and random whatever. And people will connect to us in a way they won't with AI. I don't know if that's true. I like to think that's true, but I don't know if it's true because then I go, maybe it isn't. Maybe an AI can learn enough and replicate it and no one will know. But here's my point.
Yeah.
When I watch a film with CGI in it, I still, to this day, I believe, and I could be wrong, because maybe I've seen some excellent CGI that I didn't realize was CGI, but when I watch stuff like King Kong, Peter Jackson's King Kong, I think it's very well made, and he's an excellent filmmaker. I don't believe for a second that King Kong is there, because he's not there, because he's a computer. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's some disconnect between the actual King Kong and Naomi Watts. They're both doing good things, but in my soul, I know he's not there because he's a computer. Do you know what I mean? Like there's
yeah, exactly.
Like there's a part of me that goes, I don't think I've ever been scared by a CGI thing on camera. When I think about Jurassic Park, the original, you go, the scary bits are when the creature, the puppet creature head comes in that is real, that is physically there. when you see his giant foot that is physically there. That's the scary bit. The bits where it's CGI aren't scary, I don't think. I could be wrong, but I feel like person versus computer, subconsciously we feel... Oh, I do. I don't know if I can speak for everyone, but do you know what I mean?
I think we do, but like we sort of, in order to enjoy, we like do that illusion of sort of like you will let yourself try and believe that it is because you're like, oh, what's the story here? This is this thing in the story. But I think if you stop and like look at it, you're like, oh, well, I know that's computer. And what it's supposed to do is like elicit the idea in my head, and then like the idea is to try and get it as close to being real as it can be. Like, I'm arachnophobic, so I can't look at even CGI spiders because then they make me think of real spiders.
All right, CGI spiders scare you. Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. They mess me up because I'm like, the movement is real enough. And like, as long as I can see that in my brain, even I'm like, I know I'm looking at a computer, but it makes me think of what a real spider does. And now I'm thinking about spiders. And so but I think like with like the it's true, like the scariest parts of Jurassic Park are when it's the puppet versus the thing, because like I think we are also able to pick up on like the subtle like things that are in space, whether, you know, even so like everybody's looking at something empty, even the best actors are still like looking at something empty.
Yeah,
like, say Brendan Fraser is
sense
like,
you can
sense it, and you're like, oh well, there's nothing actually taking up space there, so you're like looking at a point. But in reality, you'd probably be looking at many things on this thing. You know what I mean? But you're like still looking at its eyes because that's where the tennis ball is. But like in reality, like if it's a 10-foot, you are a 50-foot dinosaur, you're probably like looking at all the, and then like when it makes that movement, you're doing that. But like you have to predict it, and then like they have to then program the other thing to either match it, or you're just like looking at this when it's going there. I don't know how far out we are from like that not being the thing. Maybe as programs can then see where our eyes are looking and then program something at the other end of that, like eye tracking. I don't know.
What were you going to say about Brendan Fraser?
Oh, they say Brendan Fraser, the reason he did so many like CGI movies, you know, he was like in that Looney Tunes movie and he was in like Monkey Bone and other movies like that, is because he's like the best at in the Mummy movies. It's because he's the best at interacting with things that aren't there. He's like the best at it. If anybody's the most convincing, it's him at like, oh, that thing is there. You know, when everybody else is like, he's like, I don't remember the lines from any of these movies. I'm going to send you to Mummy Hell. I think that's a line from the movie. Have you had a 3D model of you done yet?
When you have to stand and get, yes.
Uh-huh.
That's scary.
It's scary. It really is. I'm like, oh no. Oh, I just hope the cameras aren't good enough. They're like, well, we still need you.
Maybe neither of us are here.
Yeah, maybe.
I got news for you, buddy boy. You died a long time ago making chicken tartare. And now,
crap.
But the good news is there's heaven, real heaven. And you are invited. And everyone there is so excited to see you. And it's filled with your favorite thing. What was your favorite thing? It was living. It's filled with the living.
It's filled with the living. It's filled
with the living. And they're so excited to see huge fans of all your stuff. Huge fans of everything you've done and your life and your heart and your body and your face. They love it all. And what I want to do is I want to talk about your life through film. I can't believe how long we've talked before getting to this. They want to talk about your life through film. We might have to go a bit quicker. And the first film they ask you, the first thing they want to know is, what is the first film you remember seeing Sam Richardson?
It's a few things. I'm like trying to remember what the actual first thing is. Because like Little Mermaid just came out, the new Little Mermaid. And I think like maybe the first movie I went to the theater in like 89 was Little Mermaid.
Oh,
and I remember going with my dad to see that movie. But then like if it's not that, if it's like I'm even watching a movie on tape or something, it might have been The Land Before Time.
Oof, what double bill.
You know what I mean? Either one of those shots will kill you.
Yeah, Jesus.
Yeah. I just loved them.
Are you an only child?
I'm my mom's only child. I'm my dad's fourth and separated by like 14 years at least.
Oh, shit. Are you close with the halves?
Not super close, but we do love each other, you know.
I like the way you set that up sounded like you were just your mom's favorite. that your mom's got. And my mom's only child. My siblings, she cares less for.
To my mom, I'm the only one. to the others, they're abandoned.
Did you see? You went to see Little Mermaid with your dad on your own?
I did.
That's heartbreaking and beautiful.
Yeah.
What a movie. I love that film so hard. What's the film that scared you the most? Do you like being scared? You've made a horror, for God's sakes. Do you like them?
I do. I really do. I mean, I say horror isn't like my super genre. Where I'm like a new scary movie comes out and I'm like, boys, roll up. However, my other friends are like, boys, roll up. And I'm like, yeah, I'll go. Let's do this. But a movie that scared me the most, there's two. One was, I talked about before, is arachnophobia. Like, I got actual arachnophobia from watching this movie.
Oh, wow.
I was like, ooh, it sucked. I was in Ghana as a kid. And I was maybe about 6 years old. And I was watching Arachnophobia with my cousin, Julian. And it gets to the part where they're in the basement, the giant spider goes, shah! And I'm like, oh, shit! And then my cousin goes, and I get up and I run. And like, so it's this house in Ghana. So like, there's like a hall. It's like the living room leads to a hallway. On the other side of that wall is like a patio, outdoor patio area. And that hallway leads to the kitchen. And on that patio, that wall, on the hallway to the patio is like these three windows and there's fluorescent light on the patio. So I'm like running through that hallway and I stop and I'm like, okay. And then like, my back is against the wall with the windows. And I look at the wall, this white wall, and there, like a bat symbol, is like this sort of shadow of this spider. No. And I look, and there's a spider like this big right by my face.
No. And
I even, like, right now, I'm like, I got goosebumps even talking about it.
Shit. Like,
bad goosebumps, you know? So that's real arachnophobia. And the other one,
I like that film was a how-to guide.
Exactly. It's just straight up. Like how to have.
Arachnophobia for dummies.
Exactly.
Go on, what's your other one?
My dad rented this movie from Tradewind Video, and the movie was called Armageddon, and it was a documentary. So this movie came out way before the movie with I don't want to miss a thing, you know, the Bruce Willis masterpiece, Ben Affleck, Liv Tyler, you know. Mm-hmm. So this movie is a documentary about like ways the world could end, and I remember my auntie Letitia, whose house I was in Ghana, was in Detroit visiting, and I got this video to watch, and I remember I didn't know what Armageddon meant. So I was just like making fun of the name, and I was like, Armageddon, oh, Armageddon home. That was a song. I made a song called Armageddon Home. And I was like, this is very funny. My auntie's laughing. My auntie's like, Armageddon home. We sat down and watched the movie, and there were so many images of like this total annihilation, like meteors hitting the earth. And like, I was like, the jokes became fewer. And then I was just vexed and I couldn't sleep.
I'm going to get into bed.
I'm going to get into bed. I'm going to get no sleep.
Oh, wow. That's a fun family watch.
Oh, yeah. Traumatizing. Jeez.
What about crying? What's the film that made you cry the most? Do you cry? You cry?
I cry, but like in odd and random times, you know, very unpredictable in ways. Like, so I was shooting the movie Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates in Hawaii, and the movie Inside Out came out, and so we were like, oh, let's go see this movie. I had like an off day, so we went to see Inside Out, and I remember specifically saying, just so you know, guys, I don't cry at movies. And so I sat down, and like literally the opening movie, you know, a little short, the Pixar short, came on about like the volcanoes, the lava. Yeah. And I'm talking about that one happened, and I started bawling, like fully. Just like, I was like, uh-oh. I was like, oh, no. Okay. So then the movie starts, and like even just the music, the Michael Giacchino, I start to like well up a little bit. I'm like, uh-oh, this movie's unlocked something in me. And like throughout that whole movie, I am just tearing up and I'm crying. Because like the music with the storytelling, and then the very end, or like the, you know, or even the middle, like the bing bong, and like the end where she's like talks through the idea of like the memory being this. I'm crying that whole movie because I'm like, this movie is like the most emotionally educational movie.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like it just teaches you, I mean, not kids, but people that like the sides of emotions, like not that everything has facets, you know, like, yeah. I love that lesson of like, you know, bad memories having good parts to them and good yeah. memories having bad parts to them. It's so real, so universal, I think so educational. And I wept the whole time.
I did a Films of the Decade special of this show, and Inside Out was my greatest film of the decade. And I never want to see it again because I can't handle it. But I think it's...
yep.
I think it's one of the most profound films ever made. I think it's incredible. It's amazing.
I agree. That's amazing.
Ooh. It really is. It really is like life... films that can change your life, I would put that on the way up that list. Incredible.
Yes. Incredible. The pacing is brilliant in that movie. The music is amazing. And the story is...
Yeah.
And it's like an adventure film that then pulls you along the whole time. And like you grow with these characters. And then like anytime like a thing lets you see the different facets of a character, but like in a natural way where you're, when it hits, you're like, oh, I'm yeah. not annoyed with you. You are me, you know, like that's yeah.
And just there's so much to it. The thing about parenting, the fact that they kind of inadvertently sort of damage the girl by saying, you'll be a brave yeah. girl for daddy sort of thing. Like, Jesus Christ.
Yep.
Get the fuck out of here.
I'm talking about start crying right now Pixar? when she even saying that, like she finally goes like that's the bad, like I'm not okay. Mm. Oh my goodness.
Ridiculous. Maureen, what's this I hear about you going to film school? I am. I want to gain valuable skills while making films and developing my creativity. So I'm attending the New York Film Academy. I'm thinking about becoming one of them people that writes the numbers on the title board. NYFA is a very respected film school. I hear they offer a variety of options to meet your educational goals, whether you want a BFA or MFA degree, or want to learn at a quicker pace with a short-term program. That's right! They've got workshops and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, cinematography, screenwriting, producing, game design, musical theatre, and more. Are you attending in New York? Might do. They have multiple campuses in some amazing locations like New York, LA, Miami, Italy, Australia, and online. And you can learn more about the New York Film Academy at nyfa.edu. That's nyfa.edu. Thanks, Maureen.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
What's the film that you love? People don't like it. It's not critically acclaimed, but you love it unconditionally. What is it?
I don't know if this movie is not critically... I think it's not. I think it got like panned pretty hard. But do you remember the movie Bicentennial Man?
Oh, man, that's another film that made me cry to death. Bicentennial Man's a killer.
It made me cry. I love that movie. Yeah. I love that movie so much. Robin Williams, Tour de Force, man.
Chris Columbus, like, Robin Williams, it's a killer.
Chris Columbus, it's a killer. And I think the movie got like panned and like it people did. Don't talk about this movie. I love it so much.
Beautiful. Like, killer beautiful. Film. There's a robot that make you cry.
Yeah, there you go. Uh-oh. Did we just undo the whole AI argument with Bicentennial?
We're fucked. Bicentennial Man,
never mind.
Oh, no. We are dead. We've been dead also, all along.
Data fuck. From Star Trek.
Yeah. Fuck. Shit.
Oh, no.
That's such a good shout. I don't think that's ever come up on this show. Love that film.
No. Oh, I love that movie.
He makes the tearjackers, Chris Columbus, always.
Yeah, he really does. He really does.
What's the film that you used to love? You loved it, but you've watched it recently and you've gone, this is not for me anymore. You might have changed. The film might still be good, but you've changed. What is it?
I used to love, or I just thought I used to love the movie Legend. Do you know that?
Tim Curry, Tom Cruise.
Tim Curry, Tom Cruise. That's right. And I was like, oh, this movie was doing like Lord of the Rings before anybody was doing Lord of the Rings. I was like, this movie is fantastic. And I sat down and watched it like recently and I was like, what is even happening here? Get to Tim Curry in the giant devil costume. That was like the best part of the whole thing. Yeah, the makeup on that, truly amazing. But the movie surrounding it, caca doo-doo.
Is that Ridley Scott? That's Ridley Scott, isn't it?
It's a Ridley Scott, so I might not work in films ever again. But he's done better. He's done better.
He's done better. You know what I think's one of his greats? All the Money in the World.
I've never seen that.
I think it's one of his greats.
I will watch that.
A really, really good film. And amazing that he reshot Christopher Plummer in it in like 12 days or less than. It's amazing.
Yeah, I still haven't seen it, but in 12 days, right?
Days. Amazing. And in such a way that you're like, I can't imagine this film with anyone else ever.
Seamless.
Oh, he's amazing. Perfect for it. It's brilliant. What is the film that means the most to you, Sam Richardson? Not the film itself might be any good, but the experience you had around seeing the film will always make it important to you.
It's a recent one, and like Scorsese would be mad at me, but it's Avengers Endgame. I'm a Marvel fanatic, and like comic books, and then to MCU, I was like, loved it. And every step of the ride, I was like, everything has a plan. I was like, the whole time, I was like, this is another thing. And I remember I got knee surgery the day the movie was coming out. And so I was on Vicodin, and my buddy Mike, who we always go see these movies together, was like, oh, so you're probably not going. I'm like, no, nah, man, we're going. So that same day, on crutches, we go to the Chinese theater and we watch that movie.
Wow.
And at every big reveal, I'm fucking loopy as hell. So I'm like, yeah! Get him! And I'm talking about, I've never had a bigger experience like in a movie, because like they like the landing of the plane on that was so phenomenal. And like every character, you're like, I love this person, I love that guy, yes, get him out of that moment. It's the best case scenario for what a $1 trillion movie franchise can end, that phase could end with. That's like a very important thing. I go back and I watch the portals scene often, but I watch it with the audience reaction on YouTube, and it always like it's like truly like
it's what, really magical. That it is really
it
funny.
Really is.
Yeah,
you know, like, oh, and the cheering. It's like gives you goosebumps. It's like truly a communal experience.
It's an incredible achievement, and I always wonder about the reality of. I assume, I haven't looked into it and I almost don't want to know, but like without spoiling, the big post scene, the moving scene, like, was everyone there or were people?
I can't believe they were.
I can't believe everyone was there.
Again, nobody's looking at each other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like, it's a hell of a lineup and you're like, I can't imagine them all being in the same room ever.
Just the amount of assistance that would have to be there. And just all the single banger trailers. Too many trailers, y'all. Can't do it.
The coffee order alone, it's too much.
Oh my Lord, just build a Starbucks at that point.
What is the film you most relate to, Sam Richardson?
That is a good question. So I always kind of relate to sort of a person in a different world than they come from. Because growing up, I grew up between Ghana and Detroit. I always felt like I was never, you know, I was never fully American.
How much were you in Ghana? Was it like 6 months? 6 months?
It was like 3 months, 9 months, okay, and then vice versa. So, so it was like kind of even split. For first and second grade, I was just in Ghana. And then, you know, up until high school, maybe I'd go for like 2 months and then come back and then go for like 3 months and then come back. You know what I mean? Spend the summers there.
Do you still go back?
Random. Not nearly as well. Last time I was back, I went with Conan O'Brien, and that was like 4 years ago. So hopefully I'm going to go back. I mean, I want to go back this year, but we'll see if that can happen. I always, as a kid, like identified with like Superman in that.
Yeah.
So the movie Superman, like sort of like this idea of like being from like these two different worlds, and like one gives you abilities with the other, and like not knowing what that really was. I just always, so I would always wear Superman pajamas. And like, I'd be Superman for Halloween. And I would always like this, like, was so about Superman. And so the Superman movie, it's like the Donner Superman movies are just incredible bits of cinema, just the storytelling. I didn't even realize how good they were until I got older and rewatched them, but I would watch them a lot. But I just identify with like this idea of like Clark Kent having this thing that, or Superman having this side of him, like this, that sort of like duality of this person who is like also just trying to like be good and do as like be good, you know. I kind of always identified with that, and you know, like I was like big Jesus complex, so Superman.
Question for you: are you Superman in Ghana or in Detroit? Where are you Superman and where are you Clark Kent?
I'm Superman in Detroit.
Okay.
Because maybe when I was younger, though, I think I was Superman in Ghana because like, I had all the American stuff. So like being American was like, so cool. You know what I mean? So it was like, oh, yeah, I'm hip. I got all the music. But now that's not currency. You know what I mean? So
it's the opposite. So, you're like, oh, so I'm Clark Kent.
You know?
Wow. Interesting. Yeah. I like that answer a lot. What is, oh God, Sam, here we go. Oh God, you ready? Oh God,
I'm ready.
I'm blushing. Oh God, I can't believe it. Here we go. Oh God, what's the sexiest film you've ever seen, Sam Richardson? Oh God.
Okay. I'm dead and I'm blushing. I'm like, oh, let's just put bright purple cheeks of blush that could be, you know, also just
chicken,
the blood of
salmonella.
Like, just be a salmonella. I'm gonna say, because like it's not a movie that like has a lot of sex in it, but just everybody in it is so sexy, and like it's just like a very sexy. I you know the movie Mr. and Mrs. Smith?
Fucking hell, that is a sexy as fuck film.
It's sexy from top to bottom. They are two sex pots at the height of their sexy game and just being sexy with each other.
That is movie. Sexy. Sexy film.
It's sexy. It's a pure sexy film.
Pure sexy from start to finish.
Even when they're supposed to be like boring, I'm like, yeah, it's sexy. Like, even when they're like, oh, it's sexy, a funny duddy. I'm like, nah, it's sexy, funny duddy.
You could funny duddy all over me. Very sexy.
Wherever you want, funny duddy away.
You can funny duddy me till I'm dead. What is, there's a subcategory, troubling boners, worrying wide-ons. A film you found arousing, you weren't sure you should. What is it, Sam?
There's a movie called I'm Gonna Get You Sucker.
I love that film. Great, it's
so
film.
Funny. It's so funny. It's a great film. Used to watch that movie a lot as a kid, and then there's a scene where
I think I know it.
He's like, go on. You know, where he's like with the woman, and then she like starts to take off and like she takes off her eyelashes. She takes off her wig, takes off her fake leg, and I'm like, whoa. She takes off her butt, and I remember seeing that butt, and I was like, that's sexy. I love that butt. I don't know what to do with a butt just yet, but I know that's a sexy little butt on the floor. Is that how sex is done? So troubling early boners.
That's a floor butt. That is a troubling boner. Just a disembodied floor butt.
You know, it's the epitome of unnatural.
You want a funny daddy with that floor bar. great answer. Sam Richardson, what is objectively the greatest film of all time? Might not be your favorite, but it's the greatest.
I'm going to jump between two answers here because one is like a more recent movie. And then one I feel is like probably a common one that you probably hear a lot. So that's why I like, so the common one, I'll say Goodfellas because it's truly like it top to bottom,
the best,
the greatest movie. It's the best. It is the best film, even from the beginning. Like that tracking shot, it sets you up for
the best.
A whole world introducing these characters and like the just the best film.
Yeah.
Period. And then the other movie I'll say is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Okay,
you don't agree, but. Movie's pretty phenomenal.
It's a fucking great
pretty phenomenal.
It's a pretty phenomenal film. Why objectively the greatest, that one?
I think it follows that sort of like storytelling. Well, okay. It's hard because I want to say a Tarantino movie because I feel like the way he does things. And I would have said Inglourious Basterds, but because like of like watching, when you watch that movie over and over again, there's so many layers to it, which I'm like, it's a puzzle, but it's not an arduous one. I feel the same thing happens with Once Upon a Time, but the performances are so brilliant that it does that same thing, but like with heightened performance. You know what I mean? There's just, it's not as much happening, but so it's a more close story and sort of like it's one where you go back and you find the pieces. But I think it's a bunch of people at the top of their game making great content.
Oh, God. I'm giving you Goodfellas, because Goodfellas is probably the greatest.
Goodfellas is my true answer. Is my true answer. But I want to keep the love going for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, so that people put it in that category. Because you know, maybe as we learn more about it.
Yeah, I really like the book. The book he wrote. I'm sure you've read it.
I just got the book. I haven't read
it
yet.
It's great.
Literally just got it.
It's wonderfully entertaining. It's a really great read.
That's what you want out of a book. You know,
what is the film you could or have watched the most over and over again?
I'm sorry I keep on hitting you with these multi answers, but one would be the Ninja Turtles motion picture,
the original
1991.
Yes,
the original. I've watched that movie a thousand times. Dark and good, but like really good. It's a movie where you go back as an adult, you're like, oh, this is actually a story. It's a good movie. And these turtles are real. Again, no CGI. These are real turtles.
Thank
so like
you.
They take up space, and I'm like, I feel them. I know them.
They're heavy.
Fighting in the, they seem heavy, but then they seem able to like move in the world.
Yeah.
So if you try to pick them up, sure, hard. But if they try to do a backflip, they can do it because they're the turtles, the ninjas.
Yeah.
So
That
another movie that is like in my top. Like I watched a movie a thousand times, Adventures of Baron Munchausen.
Oh, wow. What a fucking great show.
I love that movie so much. It's such a great, fun, brilliant movie. It's in like a trio of three movies, right? Terry Gilliam. He did three movies. They're apparently like supposed to be like each, they're a set. It's Time Bandits, Brazil, and The Adventures of Baron Munchausen. And it's supposed to be like imagination in youth, imagination in middle age, and imagination in old age. So like, I'd always just like watch this movie because it was so, the spectacle of that movie, first off, was like mind breaking. I was like, what a world this is. Mm. And like, sort of like the relation to time as well that he has, where he's telling the story, but then he's like in this and he's going into this world and he's going to, you know, meet with Hephaestus, you know, or like Robin Williams as the heads and his wife as gods. It was another little sexy movie where like he's having the heads are separate, but they're making nookie.
Yes.
You know, I think that movie is so brilliant and so funny, you know?
Yeah. What a chat. Never come up. Uma Thurman's first film, right?
Uma Thurman's first film.
Venus.
And that sequence, Venus, is Venus. There's the soundtrack. I listen to the soundtrack every here and there. It's there's like a waltz they do and they're dancing and they're like, they start dancing so romantic that they are floating in the sky. And the music that plays is just so grand and like a beautiful waltz. I think about that all the time.
Mm.
But Uma Thurman's first movie, she's presented like
an oyster.
Like an oyster, you know?
And, like, comes out of the show. Yeah. Yeah. Amazing.
And it's the image of, who is it? Michelangelo? That what is the character? It's not Aphrodite. It is the Roman equivalent of Aphrodite, Venus. It's Venus, you know. And if you pause the image for a second, it's like a perfect facsimile of the painting.
Wow, I need to watch that again. Excellent. Now, Sam Richardson, you're not a negative person, so let's do this fairly quickly.
No.
What's the worst film you've ever seen?
Ooh, old.
Old.
The M. Night Shyamalan movie is bad.
Movie is bad. Like old. I like old.
You like the old?
You know what? I'm going to say it. I think old. Here's my view on I think it's a first draft, and he just shot it.
I agree.
And I think it's filled with amazing ideas. And if he'd done a couple more drafts and sort of fit them together slightly better, it would be a five-star masterpiece.
Yes.
But I think he went, that'll do, let's shoot it.
I mean, it's like if you have a Mercedes-Benz and you didn't put the engine in there right, it's not a great car. Got to fix the wheels and the tires.
I like it. It's got enough ideas in it that I'm like, wow, fair enough.
Now, I think you made the movie. You know what I mean? And you're saying the ideas are there, but things. So you're like, oh, what could have been? Maybe that could have been the best movie. This one, I'm watching that movie and I'm like, how?
No, I love it. It's great. Now, you're in comedy. You're in loads of comedies. You're also in my current favorite comedy show that's on TV that I love so much. If any of you haven't seen, I think you should leave. I love it so much that I can't, believe it. I think I sometimes watch it like, I can't believe this exists. It's so funny. It and I also watch it, Joe Kelly, your Detroiters creator and good friend and special boy, the co-creator on Ted Lasso. He and I were working together when it came out, the new season, and he watched it all in one night. And he said, the next morning, have you watched it all? And I was like, no, I've only watched two because I don't want to blow it all in one. I love it so much. I want to savor it. I love it so much. I can't believe it.
But I mean, part of the joy is to rewatch it.
Yeah, you know? It's better every time you watch it. I have top five sketches, and I think number one may be Little Buff Boys. The Little Buff Boys competition, which is you at the very top of your game. Fuck me. Every single line, every moment, the way you drink water, the way you get mad at the guy for picking the wrong kid. If anyone has not watched, please watch I Think You Should Leave. I don't think there's anything ever funnier. Maybe ever.
It's true. I mean, objectively, I'd say you're correct.
It is, right? It's the funniest thing of all time.
It's wild. It's so unique too. Like sketch is not unique, but sort of what it does and it just gets there directly and does that and it follows its own sort of theory and does that so well. It truly is really, really.
But there's something really magical, and that maybe this isn't for everyone, but I don't know Tim Robinson, your good friend, but I feel so many of the sketches, I'm like, I totally, even though it's surreal and it goes off in such a surreal direction, I go, I know what you're talking about. I know where this came from.
Exactly.
I feel you. The zip lining sketch in the new season, I'm like, 100% I get that. 100%. I know exactly what you mean. That's what I would be doing. And it seems like...
to go back on the zip line.
Yeah, it sounds seems like such a sort of surreal idea, but I go, it's come from him going... I fucking love zip lines.
Exactly. What's something it is?
The observation is so true. It's zip lines are the best thing. Anyway.
If something like that is there, why wouldn't you want to do that all day?
Anyway, you love him, right? You love each other.
We love each other too much. We're best friends. best friends.
Love to hear it. So, saying all that, knowing that you are one of the funniest and involved in the funniest and all the funniest, everything you've done, having said all of that, what's the film that made you laugh the most, Sam Richardson?
I watch this movie all the time still. Harlem Nights is maybe my favorite comedy of all time. It's the top to bottom, so funny. Eddie Murphy is he's able to be charming lead man and still so funny. Knock him out of the park. It was hard to do because he's playing straight man or I don't know he's playing
the straight guy.
You know, he's the straight guy, but still able to knock these things out of the park and then surrounded by Red Fox and Della Reese. Richard Pryor, wall to wall. Everybody is so good at that movie. It's insane.
It's very, very good. That's a good listen. You've brought up a load of stuff that hasn't been said on this show, so I'm excited to hear it. Maureen, what's this I hear about you going to film school?
I am. I want to gain valuable skills while making films and developing my creativity, so I'm attending the New York Film Academy. I'm thinking about becoming one of them people that writes the numbers on the title board.
NYFA is a very respected film school. I hear they offer a variety of options to meet your educational goals, whether you want a BFA or MFA degree, or want to learn at a quicker pace with a short-term program.
That's right. They've got workshops and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, cinematography, screenwriting, producing, game design, musical theatre, and more.
Are you attending in New York?
Might do. They have multiple campuses in some amazing locations like New York, LA, Miami, Italy, Australia, and online.
And you can learn more about the New York Film Academy at nyfa.edu. That's nyfa.edu. Thanks, Maureen.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Sam Richardson, you have been wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah, this is great. This is so great.
However, you was cooking. You remember you was cooking. You were trying things. You know what? You hadn't had a TV for 4 days. You'd gone mad. You were like, it's time to cook. You made tuna tartar. Yep. You made steak tartar. The obvious next move, chicken tartar. You put your raw chicken, you chopped it up nice and fine. And you let it cook to room temperature. You left it out overnight. Not just room temperature, but filled with bugs. And then the next morning you said, I'll take a little taste of this. This little masterpiece. And you had a little spoonful and you went about your day. You said, I'll say that my girlfriend's going to love that later. You said, I won't even put it in the fridge. I'll leave it out so it's at the right temperature. You went for a walk and you were walking through the grove listening to Tony Bennett. And just as one of those fountains went off, you fell to the floor clutching your stomach. People went, is that Sam Richardson off the telly and the films and the cruise ships? You went, yes! And your stomach was eating itself. And you were in terrible pain. It's very sad. People were going, oh, can I have a selfie? And you were going, but I think it may have been the chicken tartar. And people lying on the floor next to you taking selfies. And you said, it's nice to meet you, but could you call an ambulance? And they were going, okay, he's so funny. He's doing bits. He's always doing bits. And you were like, no, I think I'm dying. And they were like, more selfies. And someone said, where was Women in should have been on the big screen? And you went, I didn't even get to see it on the big screen. And then... And they said, I'm so glad I got to meet you. And you said, well, thank Ghostbusters. And then you died. And I was walking past. I had a coffee, I'm like wandering around the mall. And I go, is that bloody Sam Richardson with loads of people taking selfies with his corpse? And I go, yeah. And I go, move away, you vultures. And I go there and I go, oh, bloody hell. And the thing is, because of the flesh-eating bugs from the chicken tartare, your stomach has grown 12 sizes. It's now filled with bugs. I say to one of these people at the grove, I go, have you got an axe? And one of them goes, yeah, always. And I go, oh, can I borrow it? Get the axe, start chopping you up. People start screaming, still some people taking selfies. I go, stop taking selfies, help me out. Has anyone else got an axe? Yes, they do. It's three axes. I get three axes. People now chopping you up. Anyway, scrape together. You now look like Tartar. I've got Sam Tartar. I put you in the coffin. ram you in there, but it was more of you than I was expecting. The coffin's absolutely full. There's only enough room in the Sam Tartar for me to slide one DVD in the side of the coffin for you to take across to the other side. And when you get there, it's movie night every night. What film are you taking to show the living when it is your movie night, Sam Richardson, in heaven? Go.
Oh, my goodness. That's exactly what happened, too, I remember.
I know.
I'm going to toss Tombstone in there.
Yes! Why wouldn't you? It's a wonderful film.
It's a wonderful film. It's got everything you need. You know what I mean? It's historically accurate. Mm-hmm. It's got tour de force performance from Val Kilmer. Yeah, I heard it's all transcripted. And they were just like, let's just... I remember hearing the director was like, let's just put the words up.
It's called verbatim. Verbatim cinema.
It was verbatim. You know what I mean? And proof's in the pudding. Movie I could watch every day of my afterlife.
Wonderful film. Sam Richardson, is there anything you would like to tell people to watch, to listen to, coming up for you?
Oh my goodness. I would really love it if people watch The After Party. Season 2 comes out July 12th.
Season 2.
And like go back season and watch season two. 1. It's there. Season 2zles.
Watch them twice.
Watch I Think You Should Leave. Watch them twice. Make it nice. I Think You Should Leave on Netflix. Find me out there. I'm out there. I'm living.
He's out there.
I'm at the Grove.
It's very accessible. He's always at the Grove.
Taking selfies.
He's lovely unless you're a TV salesman, and then watch out. You fucking watch out.
Turn the hammer on.
That's what his background
I'm going to go right now and like deal with this man. That's right.
Oh my God. Yeah. Good luck.
Instruments of war behind me.
Sam Richardson, thank you for your time and for your brilliant answers. I hope to see you in real life soon. Have a wonderful time at the TV shop. Good day to you.
Thank you so much. Good day.
So that was episode 253. Head over to the Patreon at patreon.com/Brett Goldstein for the extra 20 minutes of chat, secrets and video with Sam. Remember to watch Shrinking and Ted Lasso on Apple TV+. Go to Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star rating, but write about the film that means the most to you and why. It's a nice thing to read. My neighbour Maureen loves it. Always makes her cry. And it's really appreciated. Thank you very much. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you to Sam for giving me his time. Thanks to Scroobius Pip and the Distraction Pieces Network. Thanks to Buddy Peace for producing it. Thanks to iHeartMedia and Will Ferrell's Big Money Players Network for hosting it. Thanks to Adam Richardson for the graphics and Lisa Lydon for the photography. Come and join me next week. An absolute banger coming up. I hope you're all well. Thank you for listening. That is it for now. In the meantime, have a lovely week. And please, now more than ever, be excellent to each other. Sometimes I dream of becoming an actor. Have you ever dreamt of becoming an actor? Maureen, what is it you think I do for a living? Never mind. Sounds like you need the New York Film Academy. NYFA offers workshops, BFA and MFA degrees and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, journalism and more, online and on campuses across the globe. To make films alongside industry professionals, explore more at nyfa.edu. Thanks, Brett. Thank you, Maureen. Maureen, your Canva presentation looks brilliant. Thanks, Brett. That's because I used AI-powered Canva presentations. I just described what I wanted, and Canva presentations generated the perfect slides. You can even make a talking presentation for people to watch on their own time. Check this out. Recording. 101 Reasons Why Beaches is the Saddest Film Ever Made by your neighbour Maureen. Is it easy to use? If you can use a computer, you can nail your next work presentation with Canva Presentations at canva.com, designed for work. Oh, thanks, my name is Maureen. Yeah, thank you.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. Cheapo Air you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.